Now, I better give a little warning, don't I? Here we go.
Stand by. It's interview time.
It's almost there. Stand by, Deborah.
Yeah.
We'll be going into the first track we're going to talk about off your brand new album, Decidedly Joyful. So we'll let the intro come in, mm-hmm. and then we'll let Deborah take over.
Yes.
Come on. Come on, music.
There it is.
There it comes.
Yeah.
There we are, Decidedly Joyful. Are we decidedly joyful? Are you there, Deborah?
I am. I love that piece.
Oh, good to have your company. Welcome along. We're going to give you a really good grilling, aren't we?
I'm prepared.
Oh, good. Well, it's great to know you're there from Phoenix, Arizona, all the way from here to Market Harbour in England. It's great to have you with us, like I said. And can you give the listeners a little brief overview of your musical upbringing and maybe which musicians inspired you, please?
Well, yeah, I got piano lessons, obviously, as a little kid, and would listen to, we had classical music that we listened to, and actually my piano teacher only wanted me to listen to classics or play classics because she didn't want me to get spoiled, so I had a real technical upbringing, and I went to the local symphony and I did all that. But my dad, being a very practical man, one of these Depression era babies, money meant something to him, and he thought, by golly, I'm the one paying for piano lessons. So I think I wanted to play some of the things that I'd like to hear, and he would bring home ragtime or movie theme music and things like that. So I also became very familiar with Roger Williams and Peter Nero, Joanne Castle from the Lawrence Welk Show.
Oh, wow.
So I had quite the well-rounded upbringing. It was quite lovely.
And of course you play other instruments as well, isn't it? Like the banjo and the mandolin, I understand.
I can't say that I am feeling good about playing them in public these days, but I used to. I used to do that, and the violin or fiddle, some guitar, the wooden flute or recorder. But today, honestly, out of all of these, the classical organ is the only one that I still feel confident to play in public. So I have a standing gig, if you will, on Sunday mornings at a church about 25 miles away, and they love classical organs, so I work very hard to bring them the best that I can.
Oh, well, I'm sure you do. Now, would you like to quote that opening line from your poem that's featured in the sleeve notes, please? Oh, where's my copy going? Oh, here. Yes, I like that little first line. Can you repeat that for us, please?
Sure. It reads, "Choose something like the next solar system inside you, the path unpacked, a course of sublimity." So it's one of those that makes you go, what?
Okay, so we'll say, what?
Yeah, what was that all about? Well, it just, it's funny. When I was thinking about the overall genre of the CD and all the New Age tendencies that are there, and I had so much fun trying to decide on the titles and come up with creative things, and then I thought I should come up with a poem, and, I really wanted to expand outside of the usual little iambic pentameter kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And I just started thinking about, I was sitting on a beach in Hawaii, actually, and I was thinking, now what could I write on my for my CD, and who would I be writing it to? And I just started expanding my thought, thinking about, what's inside of me versus what's outside of me, and it's all a mental journey, and let's just see what's coming out inside of me for this CD, and what kind of speakers of beautiful music might I meet up with, such as you two. How would I have ever done that otherwise? So That's kind of where I started with that.
Oh, that's funny. Well, obviously we're here to talk about the soundscapes. What initially inspired it? Was it your husband, as you state in the sleeve notes? And how did you meet up with Sherry Finzer of RS Promotions US and promote your album? Fabulous meetup.
Oh, yeah. Let me start with Sherry. I mean, if you're on Facebook, it's hard to miss her. She is so diligent in getting things out there, and you see all these beautiful album covers, and, you know, you're reading all these reviews, and it's like, wow, you know, who is this person, and what is she able to do? And she actually is a local legend here in the Valley of the Sun, which is what we call the Greater Phoenix area.
Oh.
And so I was actually able to meet with her and talk to her about what she's done, who her clients are. I mean, she's an excellent artist in her own right and a fabulous promoter. And, gosh, she's so easy to work with and has a high integrity level. So I would recommend her to anyone. It's really, really a lot of fun to talk to as well. Nice person, you know, or like, gee, she's intelligent and good looking and nice. Wow, what a package.
she's
done a very good job for my soundscapes. I'm very pleased. And as far as what initially inspired it, you know, yes, my husband inspires me so greatly in everything that I do, I'll tell you. And he's always very supportive. We met through music. And we were talking one day about a friend of his that had a CD that had won a Grammy nomination.
Oh.
And I thought, now, you know, that's something I'd like to strive for. Let's get it at such a level of a recording that it would be worthy. I'm not going to say I'm going to get that, but I just want it to be in that ballpark. And so I talked with Warren Hatfield, and he said, let me put you in touch with my friend Jim Linehan over in L.A. and go from there. And so I thought about doing a slightly different genre. I thought I would make it totally new age, but it, of course, it took its own direction, as they say.
Yeah.
And Soundscapes was sort of more of a composer showcase album, but that's initially what got going. I wanted to try something new at a higher level, and if it means getting over to L.A. to do this, that's what I'm going to do. I'm very fortunate. Yeah, very fortunate.
Okay, well, we're going to talk about the first track, My Choice, Decidedly Joyful. We'll have a little listen to it in the background for about a minute or so.
Okay.
Here we go. It's one of my favourite tracks. I love the gentle tempo and the saxophone. Just makes it sound all that more decidedly joyful, just like you. What's the story behind that track? Please, Dora.
Yeah, this is one where the melody came first and then the harmony, which is quite simple. It's not musically intricate at all, but... It just felt very joyous when it came to me, and then I thought, gosh, what if I just had a little basic thing going, and I said to this musician, take it away. What comes to you when you're thinking of that title, and then letting somebody else come in and do something? What do you think of? And it was really a wonderful collaboration. By the time I had everybody playing, and whether they were in a background with percussion or whether they were soloing, so it's. I don't know. It was my favorite. I think was why I made it the title track. It just does express my overall look on life, I guess.
Oh, and so what? Okay, well, it is written. Let's have a little listen to It Is Written. Here we go. Thank you. Salentio. Now, it sounded like the tide was coming in there, so what inspired this track, please, Deborah?
Well, yeah, that's one of my long introductions, and it does sort of sound like that as you listen to everything. Originally, this particular track had an Estonian title, which, if I could pronounce it, I would tell you what it is. I decided if I can't pronounce it correctly, I better exchange it for English. So I went with the translation, which is "It is written." It's dedicated to one of my university professors, Dr. Johannes Tall, who's from Estonia, and he's a very serious and very talented man. And I just thought of him when I did this piece, which was it came out as a hymn. So as you get beyond the introduction and you listen, it's like, the oboe comes in and you hear the melody continue. So it's the title comes from, you know, like something scriptural. You know, it's like, ooh, it is written. That means it's you better pay attention.
It's
not a scary piece. It's just very gentle, but it's like a hymn of praise almost.
Well, we did pay attention, didn't we? You like this track, don't you, darling?
Yes, I do. I love that.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
Okay, my third selection is Air. So let's have a little listen to that. Not Air today, gone tomorrow, no. Delightful use of the acoustic guitar, cello, and the violin. So, what sort of air inspired you to write this track, please, Deborah?
Yeah, I guess I must have been in a very happy and very classical mood when I composed this, because it reminds me of a Renaissance dance, I think. Very lilting and lighthearted, and I remember when the guitarist on this track, Almer Imamovich, came in, and I mean, this guy had so much technique that he just sight read the piece in the studio. And they're like, "That's it. We don't need another take. That was beautiful," and it was just lovely. So I just felt like we had a little dance going on with the musicians and playing back and forth, and I really enjoyed it. It's probably the most lighthearted one next to Decidedly Joyful.
Like an air on a G string. I can remember that track.
There we go.
Right, a couple more tracks still to go, but before we talk about them, where can listeners find out more about yourself and indeed purchase your releases? And are you working on a new album? I bet you are.
Yeah, there's always something percolating. I think my next one, I'm almost through with, actually, is going to be some more solo piano, which is what I've done several others like that.
Right.
And just really enjoying coming up with different little gems, I call them. So that will be coming out maybe in the fall, but no later than early in 2019, which, gosh, doesn't that sound like it's far away?
It does, but it isn't. It isn't.
But, so as far as people finding out more about myself and how to purchase music, which is always nice to hear, a good place to start would be at my website, and that address is Debs Piano Web, D-E-B-S PianoWeb.com. And you can find a page where it sends you where to preview several of my CDs from over the years, and you can get a bit more background on other things that I've been up to. Like, I don't know if I had ever mentioned this to you, but I was in the orchestra pit for a lot of Broadway shows that would tour through Phoenix, like Mamma Mia and The Producers and Miss Saigon. And also by visiting YouTube, you can type in my name, and you'll see several videos that feature either my music, or I've got a really fun show called Keyboard and Comedy. my Keyboard and Comedy show, that's where my personality and playing style really come front and center on stage. So I've got a lot going on. So soundscapes is just a little bit of that.
So I assume you must have some live performances coming up during the rest of the year, and any over here in good old England? I'll bet not, but you'd love to.
I would love to do that. I'll tell you, I don't have anything scheduled for England, but I know I'll be on the continent in October at the Berlin Philharmonic Symphony Hall. In October. So I'm looking forward to that. And but I was busier the first quarter of this year with touring around with some cruise ship entertainers that like to do land tours once in a while. Toured with my Keyboard and Comedy show. And then it seems like all the citrus blossoms came into bloom. So then hubby and I have been busy entertaining family and friends who wanted to come to Arizona before the heat wave hit.
It
was only a little bit of heat today. Only hit 90 today.
Bless it.
Too bad for April.
Send it over here, please.
Yes, sir. I'll send it right away.
Okay. Well, speaking of performances, is there anywhere on earth that you would like to perform, or if you and do you have a favorite place maybe that you enjoy performing?
Well, you know, that was such a good question. I was really chewing that over, thinking as you're asking this, like, gosh, if I could perform anywhere. But you know, I think I would like to play in a large outdoor venue that had a 9-foot grand piano, you know, an adoring crowd, you know. other than that, I do enjoy where I've played smaller venues, you know, that are like maybe 200 to 500 people, and because there's a certain intimacy with those venues, and you can talk to people and look them in the eye, and you just sort of connect a little more easily with the audience. And then on the flip side, I do remember years ago, I played a few times in the orchestra for the Moody Blues. Do you remember the Moody Blues?
Oh, wow.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. They would pack in arenas of 12,000.
Yes.
that was pretty awesome. That was an excitement level I didn't really know. So that would be fun to do, too, I think. But I'm open to wherever I can and find a place to play where people would appreciate it. I'm there. I love
it. We'll have a word with Her Majesty the Queen, see if we can get you at the Albert Hall here in London.
There we go. Love it.
Now, your album. Is there anybody else who contributed to the album that you'd like to specifically mention, please, Deborah?
Well, you know, I have all these wonderful sidemen, which they're all fabulous, truly, truly. But I guess two big thank yous would go out to James Linehan. Jim was the engineer and co-producer that was over in L.A., and he's got this really awesome studio, which actually is rented frequently by the Walt Disney Studios and Paramount Pictures Studios. That's how good his studio is. So it's like, wow, I couldn't have been in better hands. And he was so patient with me, you know. He works with fabulous people, you know. And he let me do my thing. And then he'd say, you might want to think about da-da-da-da. And I'm like, yeah, good idea. Or he would suggest side people. Because I didn't know who to hire from that area, you know. And so let me get so-and-so. So it was really, really a lot of fun that way to work with him. And also, he put me in touch with a gentleman named Marcus Berger, who Marcus tours his home country of Germany frequently and teaches in Southern California. And he was my sound designer for all of the New Age style pieces. Right. And I guess you would say he created a sonic tapestry. How does that sound?
Sound delightful. I like that. That should be the name of your next album. There you go. But,
oh, yeah, there we go. I'm going to grab that little phrase then.
Yeah. Hang
Thank
on
you.
To that
Thank
one.
You,
Now, I understand your piano music has been played as sort of background music in restaurant scenes, including TV shows Desperate Housewives and The Big Bang Theory and Madam Secretary. Wow, mm-hmm. How did that come about?
Yeah.
Fabulous.
I was put in touch with a couple gals that work with TV people, film people. I mean, they have the inside track, and it's Susan Bader and Doris Kaufman of DSM Productions, and they contract much of my work, and they are the ones that get out
right.
in front of the major television music editors. You know, the call comes out, we need this and that
gotcha.
And the other. And I know I got a call in December, and they're like, do you happen to have a recording of, and they named some really esoteric piece, you know, classical piece, a piano solo, and I said, gee, I know the composer, but I don't know that piece. Let me go home and do research. She goes, don't record it unless I tell you. You know, but we're just asking in case. Well, it turns out they didn't need it, but it led me to compose a classical piece that will probably be out on this upcoming album. Just to have something, you know, in the hopper ready for them if they get a call, and they could say, well, we don't have that, but we have something close to that. Would you like to listen? And so anyway, it's been a lot of fun getting on these major TV shows because they go into syndication sometimes. And then when you're looking at your royalty statements, you're like, oh, look, I played in Slovenia. It's fun. You know, I got 2 cents or whatever. But, you know, it's fun to see, like, my music was heard all over the world. And, you know, they may never know who I am, but... It's kind of a fun thing for me to look at those statements and see where it's being played.
Oh, fabulous. Well, this is 102.3 HFM, where we're proud to be local and global, and we're listening to the Hawk Chillout Sessions, and we're interviewing Deborah Offenhauser and her brand new album, Soundscapes. Now then, the next track, let's have a little listen to it. I like this track, Tans. Here we go. Quite a bit. It has a nice sort of emotive and rhythmic, almost Far Eastern, almost like the Dance of the Seven Veils, Dr. Phil. Where did this come from, Tans?
Well, Hubby Lloyd and I had visited Morocco a few years back, and I think the love affair just never ended with that country. You know, they take you on the tour to see Casablanca and Fez and, you know, all the places that... signal out North Africa, and we got to visit Bedouin families in their Saharan goat hair tents, and we rode camels, and you know, you listened to Moroccan music being played, and I think maybe what happened was we were finishing up lunch somewhere, and then we heard all this music, and it turns out there was this big wedding celebration, and so I went over, and I'm listening surreptitiously from a balcony, looking down on this scene. It's like from a movie somewhere.
Oh.
And and I got spotted, and they yelled at me. Well, I was listening in on the men's wedding celebration.
Whoops.
No females. I'm like, So I just, you know, I went where I could still hear the music, but I couldn't watch the men play the instruments, which was fascinating. That's what I wanted to see. Was like, what's that instrument? What are they playing? How did they do that? So I'm guessing maybe subconsciously I kept the music in my heart, and maybe that's how Tanz was born. I'm not really sure.
That's German for dance, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Well,
and, you know, I think the men were probably doing some kind of a men's dance, too. You know, it's the way those weddings work.
Oh, well, like a male version of the dance of the Seven Veils, wasn't it? Oh, I like that. What a fabulous idea. Okay, final selection, which I thought was appropriate, is Nothing Can Touch You Now. So let's have a little listen to it, and we'll get right back to you. Here we go.
Okay.
In the country again. Now then, Nothing Can Touch You Now. What inspired this track? And because I bet there's a story here. As Nothing Can Touch You Now, Deborah. So you're in charge.
Yeah. Well, there's a wonderful melody coming in after that introduction, and what came to me was, well, a dear friend, I was just visiting her. She had been dealing with a physical challenge. And on the drive home, I was praying about it, and the phrase came, why, nothing can touch her. Nothing can touch her.
Yeah.
Which was very comforting to me.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I was driving 65 miles an hour as the melody came along with the words, so... like, oh, that's lovely, but wait. And so I was very grateful, but I had to quickly, when I made it home, all in one piece, thank you, I started writing it down, and that was that piece. So I always think of my friend every time I hear that particular piece played. Yeah, I love that piece.
Oh, that's delightful. Well, now we're getting very close to the end, and now you were good enough to send me a couple of signed copies of Soundscapes. Now, Lady Hawk has made a note of all the emails coming in, all 100 of them, whatever it is, requested a copy, so I'll hand you over to your good lady self, Lady Hawk, daughter. May continue.
Yes. Hello, Deborah. So good to have
Hi.
You with us.
Thank you.
I need you to call out a couple of numbers for me. First, a number between 1 and 10.
Oh, my goodness. How about 7?
Well, 7, that's Peter Flanagan in Southampton.
Oh, staying in his country.
Up here.
Yay.
Okay.
Well done, Peter.
And a number between 11 and 20.
Okay, how about 18?
Well, 18, that's Steenhauser in Denmark.
Oh
my goodness.
Yeah. Wow.
Congratulations.
Yeah, indeed.
That's lovely. Well, Deborah, Lady Hawk, and I wish you every success for the rest of the year, and thank you for your time, and please give our regards to your family. I think I did see your husband briefly, didn't I, the other night on Skype.
Yes, he walked by, and I said, that was him.
Well, do you have a closing comment for the listeners of the Hawk Chiller Sessions? Please, Deborah.
I do. Well, first of all, I want to get a special shout-out to Vince O'Keefe in Michigan. Hey, hope you're still listening. And also, just basically, thank you, everyone, for tuning in. And also, a thank you to everyone who, over the years, have supported my music. I think of music as it's a very vibrant expression of God's love for every one of us. And I just wish for everyone listening that they can feel that all-embracing love in their lives every day and in every way. And And thank you so much, Terry, and also Lady Hawk for having me on your wonderful show. It's much appreciated.
You're very, very, very welcome. Yeah. Put the check in the post, Deborah, okay? So. Thank you very much. I have a quick word with you off air, so don't go away for a second. But thank you.
You bet.
Deborah Offenhauser.
Thank you, Deborah.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Nothing can touch you now.
Bye.